I feel like I'm an entrepreneur within the organization, given the chance us to create new things. I do not want the foundation to be only dependent on government subsidies.
Tyson Lopez, a visionary conservation leader, proud Arubano, and since 2023, appointed CEO of Aruba Conservation Foundation.
Aruba is very new in conservation of nature. In 2019, we created the marine protected areas of Marine Park. In the past 30 years, we lost maybe 80% of our coral coverage.
Now, as the head of ACF, he's leading the charge to preserve Aruba's protected areas through innovation, education, and community engagement.
Whenever you are going to a higher position, you have this thinking about, okay, am I enough? Can I do this? What will be the result of it if you fail?
People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show. Welcome, Mr. Tyson.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me for being here on your podcast and to be able to share what I've experienced so far. And like you said, also to make sure that we can inspire others also and give them some inspiration, motivation to do their best also.
Yeah. Yeah. My true motivation in creating this podcast, as I mentioned many times before, it's that... So, well, we spoke off camera and I can say your age?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're 38, I'm 40. So we're about the same age and definitely the same generation, right? So the millennial generation. And I remember when it was our time coming up, at least in my experience, there weren't many that we could look up to that at least felt like they were relatable or sharing their stories in an interesting way that you could really like sort of get that inspiration from and understand how to navigate your journey. So that's the main purpose of the podcast, is to interview so many different stories that we start to have documented knowledge sharing of different individuals from the six islands and also Suriname.
Indeed. I think when I grew up also, it was not about sharing back then.
No. Yeah.
So a lot was shared, but not with the general public or not with the younger generation.
Yeah.
So indeed, and for me, that is also very important now to make sure that the younger generation coming after me, that I can share a lot of my experiences and provide advice also.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell us a bit more about who is Tyson Lopez today and what keeps you busy now in 2025?
What keeps me busy? Well, nature keeps me busy in this in this case. I mean, I'm the CEO of Aruba Conservation Foundation, the foundation that manages 1/4 of the island as a terrestrial protected area, but also 0.2% of our territorial waters. So it's a big responsibility to be the person in charge that has such a mandate from the government.
Yeah.
So that keeps me busy day in, day out. I mean, everything that happens, people will call you and you'll have to react some in one way or the other. But that's what keeps me busy.
So is it a particular area of Aruba or is it the entire island?
No, it's scattered. It's scattered around the island. So the majority of it is concentrated at the national park.
Yeah.
But it's scattered all over the island.
So could you like just name a few of
It's Sasarwichi Dunes, with the wetlands also, Salinha Drive, Salinha Cerca.
The dunes that's like by the lighthouse.
Behind the lighthouse, yes. Okay. So that area is a protected area. For it is protected because of high biodiversity and ecological value also. But we have, for example, the reef islands, the mangrove islands on the south coast of Aruba also.
The south coast. So then we're talking San Nicolas.
So behind, it starts behind the airport going all the way to San Nicolas.
Oh, okay.
So the full reef island behind that part is in our management area. So it's scattered all over and it makes it very dynamic also to manage. Yeah.
Interesting. And earlier you were mentioning that, so under your leadership, what has been some of the biggest changes that has happened?
I started in July of 23.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is that we have finally, after 20 years, a strategic document, a strategic plan, where we want to go for the upcoming 10 years.
So there's more like a vision there's and a strategic more a vision, plan yeah. of so, how to get it
so
done.
So before becoming the CEO already, I was assigned with the project to come up with a strategic document, a vision where the...
So what was your role before becoming CEO?
I actually used to be the sustainable recreation manager.
Okay.
But because I'm such a eager person and wanting to learn, I kind of pushed myself into become of having this this task given to me. So for
sustainable recreation
manager.
So if recreation, I'm thinking about activities.
So yeah, it's about how to reduce the impact of recreation within the protected areas.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So it's managing people, it's managing activities, providing new experiences also for the visitors.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that. I started in, I think it was May 2019.
If I may sidetrack you for a moment. So for instance, like those that are running on the ATVs in particular areas to make sure that...
That's a hot topic, right? So,
I mean, that's some of the fun I in my memory that I had in Aruba, but I could imagine that so certain areas.
Basically, the UTVs and ATVs are prohibited to enter the national park.
Yeah.
We banned that in 2020.
Okay.
And that was part of my work that I had to do also to come up with a regulation. I mean, I can draw policies. So
yeah.
I had to do some desk research in order to introduce such a policy.
So it's not possible to go from like the gold mine straight down to San Nicolas side anymore because you pass through
the national part park. You're not allowed to.
So I actually did that then before it was banned.
So everybody did it. But that was actually it's to reduce the impact of this vehicle. And it's because this vehicle, there's so much that is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached a sustainable transport framework doing this. Policy. So it's the intention is to make sure that more visitors, so more people per tire, per motor, so it reduces the erosion, the whatever impact it might have. So that was the intention to increase the amount of visitors per vehicle. How you do it is very...
This might be a completely sidetracked, crazy question, but... I think the first time I visited Aruba, the Natural Bridge was still...
Whoa, that's a... that's...
How long ago did it...
It collapsed?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but it's a long time ago. More than 20 years ago, for sure.
More than 20 years?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So that it was it already... my first visit was in 2011. So that's about...
2011.
That's 14 years ago.
Okay, perhaps.
For some reason, I feel like it was still there. But then by the time I came in 2016-ish, then...
You
then,
realize that it's
then,
not there.
Then it was definitely collapsed. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. But was there any type of correlation between
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
A bit of a sidetrack question. But yeah.
So, so basically my position needs to be then the sustainable recreation manager. But then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So the same year, basically 2019. So the organization went into a restructuring. So a lot of people had to leave the organization, and hence also more responsibility fell on my lap.
Mm.
So at a certain moment, I was sustainable recreation marketing manager, sales manager, doing strategy. But I think at the end, it was a very...
A blessing in disguise?
Yes, a blessing in disguise. But also, I think because you take up those challenges, you learn more.
Yeah.
And you position yourself also better in the organization. And moving forward, you have a bigger set of skills also and tools that you can use in the future. So that was where I started at the Aruba Conservation Foundation. And afterwards, the CEO actually... left during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an interim CEO, and eventually they opened the position and I applied for it. I applied, that's another story, but I applied on the last day that you could have applied. And basically, I applied because a friend of mine called me and asked me for my advice. Like, do you think I can apply for becoming a CEO?
Oh, okay.
And when he asked me that question, I was like, so he thinks that he can be the CEO. So why am I thinking that it's not possible?
Yeah, yeah.
So that triggers me. If he ever sees this podcast, I'm sorry. But that triggered me to go home.
Well, I mean, if he's a true friend, then you can also just tell him, thank you for inspiring me.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that triggered me into thinking that I might also be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that case, you sometimes doubt yourself, your skills. And whenever you are going into a higher position, you have this thinking about, okay, am I enough? Can I do this? What will be the result of it if you fail?
Yeah.
So yeah, I said, like, I'm not gonna limit myself. So I applied and then went through the interviews, the interview sessions, and eventually I was offered the job, which for me was really amazing, because after creating a strategy, I will be responsible for implementing the strategy.
Mm.
And that is what I'm doing day to day now. So I keep a tab on the strategic projects that we're doing, keep a tab on all the departments if they're performing according to what we said we would be do. And that's just amazing for me to see the vision becoming a reality. It's a slow process because yeah, it takes time to learn how to work with strategies and implementation plans and strategic budgets, so multi-annual budgets, all those things. But
yeah.
I'm doing it and I'm enjoying it so far. And I think from the reactions I'm getting,
you're doing a pretty good job.
I'm getting positive reactions from people that I know.
Yeah.
And they're telling me, yeah, just keep on going,
sure. Well, you also came recommended, because since I've been on Aruba, I've been asking some of my trusted sources for names of inspiring persons.
Yeah.
So your name was mentioned among those, and then we dived in and did a bit of research and said, okay,
yeah.
I think there's an interesting story here.
Yeah. I think I'm a very active person, and I don't like sitting still.
Yeah,
I'm always up to something. So I'm always busy. I think I might be sit still. I'll be sitting still when I'm dead. But I think as long as I'm alive, I'm enjoying life.
There's lots to do.
Yeah.
So what are some of the biggest achievements you would say in your career?
In my career, if I take my full career, so I started working at the government of Aruba, mm-hmm. in the Prime Minister's office back in 2014. I think one of the achievements back there, because I used to do public diplomacy, so it's a lot about relations. So you don't get, the achievement would be a signing of an MOU with this institution or that institution. So it's basically that. But I remember one that I was really proud was, and it's basically I knew afterwards through Twitter, is that a MOU that was signed between the government of Aruba and Goldman Properties, I think it's called. It's the developers of Wynwood in Miami.
Oh, okay.
And the intention was then to bring the developers on the island and talk to potential investors on how to create such a neighborhood on Aruba, a creative neighborhood on Aruba.
Yeah.
So back then it was, I felt like it's an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
But there's multiple moments also. Afterwards, I went to work at the park or at ACF. And I mean, when I finished everything, every time you finish something, it feels good.
Yeah.
And I think you have to enjoy those highlights. Like when I finished the corporate plan and was approved.
Enjoy the big wins and the little
wins. Like, for example, recently I did execute a renovation project of one of our infrastructure. And I'm actually celebrating also. It's a small project, but I believe in celebrating all these small things in order to keep you also energized.
And forward. I mean, that's really the key when just in life in general, is enjoying the overall journey.
Yeah.
And along
not,
the journey.
Not the destination, exactly. Just the journey. Yeah.
Because the destination in true yeah. fashion is death.
That is the reality.
So we got to enjoy the whole journey.
That is the reality. And I think very quickly you just work towards a destination. Like,
yeah.
I want to do that. I want to, and you do not enjoy the current moment.
Yeah.
And the small.
So learning moments. To be more present in.
Yeah. For sure. Awesome. And now as a CEO, the organization is in the right path. I'm happy that financially we're doing very good. On our strategic implementation also is going very good. So for me, those are wins that I see that, yeah, I'm on a good course.
Yeah.
And that is going good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So now we might be getting into a bit of a deeper question.
All right.
So the off camera, we was talking about entrepreneurship, yeah. Yeah. Intrapreneurship.
Yeah.
So you're definitely in an intrapreneur position now, but that element has always been there. But looking at your current position and then also where some of your thoughts and visions are for the other things that you want to achieve, how connected do you feel to your purpose in life?
Yeah.
In your current career?
Yeah. I mean, purpose,
It's a deep question.
It's a deep question. Sometimes I wake up, what is my purpose? But no, I think I'm very much aligned right now with what I want to do.
Yeah.
And what is my contribution also to society. I think that is what keeps me going day in and day out, because it's a challenging job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with determination and passion, purpose, you will continue going.
Yeah.
And what I find very beautiful is that indeed we talked about entrepreneur and intrapreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm an entrepreneur within the organization, given the chance also to create new things.
Yeah.
So that also fuels me. Like every time I do something new, it's like, yes, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And the convincing of my ideas also. The creation of every idea that I created so far. So it's really nice, and it keeps me energized also. I think I told you also that I've been raised in a very entrepreneurial family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something embedded in you somehow. Yeah. And you need to get that flame going.
Yeah.
And working in an organization is different. So I always say, like, the foundation is my company. And sometimes I'm like, okay, it's not your company, please. So check out for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But but a lot of times when I talk to others, I mention this, that for me, the foundation is a business. Being a foundation is just a tax thing, but it is a business. And I do not want the foundation to be only dependent on government subsidies. So I really want us to be as commercial as possible in order to generate as much as possible for the conservation of nature. So that is back towards what I care a lot about, because I care deeply about nature. I love it. I'm hiking almost every weekend. I go to the beach almost every weekend. So that is my moment also. And for me to be able to conserve that is amazing.
So actually, there's something interesting in there when you unpack that a bit, because you're conserving nature, so there's also a whole sustainability aspect to it, but the foundation, you're also looking for ways to make the foundation itself more sustainable,
of course,
outside of just the regular funding.
Yeah, so it's both. It's the sustainability on the environmental sense, to make sure that nature will still be there and thrive and prosper, but also for the foundation that takes care of it also will still be there and thrive and prosper. So that combination for me, I find it very amazing.
Yeah.
It gives me energy. It gives me also headaches, but but it gives me energy to continue going.
Yeah. Awesome. So so you mentioned you really love nature. So let's tap back to the moment when you first discovered that. When was that? growing up here on Aruba.
Yeah, yeah.
So we going as far back as you can remember.
I can remember.
From maybe seeing the first, what they call, lagadishis. To the pega pegas,
to the lizard, to the snakes.
Oh, I hate snakes. But you grew up seeing a lot of them.
So basically, I am the only male within the family. Mm-hmm. So,
I can relate.
Yeah. So I had a lot of time outside of the house. So back then, I'm not a gamer. So and in our day and time, I think it was Nintendo 64 and then PlayStation. So it's early.
Yeah, it's still early.
Early gaming. And I was a person that was really outside. And I remember I would just go into, because we lived also close to nature. Mm-hmm. So I just go and explore. I think it was last month that I told my mom, you remember I used to go back there, and I showed my mom where I was, and she was like, when was this happening? when you were working. So
I never told you that.
Yeah, I thought you knew. But so early on already, I felt something really nice to explore and discover in nature. So
yeah.
with that lens. And afterwards, I was I became also a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
So then also you do a lot of activities in nature. Continuously, I would go back to nature, even when I was working.
But this exploring, you was doing that mainly alone, or you did that with your friends?
I did it mainly alone. So with Boy Scouts, obviously in a group, but mainly alone.
In the neighborhood and stuff.
In the neighborhood. Okay. So behind my parents' house, there's enough...
What you call that is kunukus or the
mondi. And there were also a watering hole, so a dam where you capture water, and I would go there and explore and it's really nice. I want to say also afterwards, so the, as a kid it was more recreational,
mm-hmm.
but afterwards when I started working, for me hiking became something more for me to relax and unwind and de-stress.
Yeah.
And also...
So more mindful.
More a mindful experience for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So with that being said, how would you say your Caribbean roots have influenced the way that you carry yourself throughout your career?
I think from my Caribbean roots, but also because we are a multicultural island,
mm-hmm.
You can see things from different perspective, and that is what is one of my strengths. I can sit with a fisherman that does not agree with, for example, a policy that we want to introduce, and still understand for him and try to convince him what is it that we want to do. So, or whoever, a tour operator, whoever it is, because I take things from multiple angles. I want to know also what is it that you want to tell me? What is it that you're thinking? And I think that part, and I think that's, again, the curiosity part comes in. And and also I'm very realistic that we are a small island, and it comes with its limitation.
Comes with its challenges.
And its challenges about understanding, but also opportunities are very much less. So I'm very much rooted in the reality, you could say, that everything moves a bit slower. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. But it gives me a better... Like when you need to do changes, you need to have buy-in and support.
Yeah.
And I think that skill set of talking to people, convincing them to get the support for the change is what I can do very well.
Yeah. So let's take a little quick history, because I think we forgot to touch on that, because we touched on the childhood, but then we kind of went more the nature experience angle of it. Your schooling, what was your schooling trajectory like? So you did high school here in Aruba?
Yeah, so I did high school here in Aruba, and afterwards I went basically to Curacao, so because I wanted to become a fiscal economist. But at that time, I was a very party goer. Mm-hmm. So at Curacao was like free time for me. But very soon I stopped also and came back to the island. And then I did accountancy basically for a year. And afterwards I did my bachelor that I finished is organization governance and management.
Okay.
At the University of Aruba.
Yeah.
Then I went to work for 2 years. And then I went to the Netherlands to do my master in international development studies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And could you expand a bit on what international development studies entail?
So I'm going to start expanding first on why I chose it. There was a certain moment that because I was working for the government in public diplomacy and I was advised to do public international relations. Mm. But I see myself not as a talker. Mm-hmm. I see myself more as a doer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to become a talker. I don't want to become one of those people that just talk about a lot, yeah. talk about great ideas, but never do.
And doesn't do shh.
Exactly. So then I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this. And also I had at that moment a very strong commitment to wanting to have some impact and some change.
On the island.
On the island.
Yeah.
And that is why when I chose an international development studies as my master degree, because it takes basically, you take everything from a development perspective. So how can you benefit? What is it intervention you can do to benefit the community? What intervention can you do to benefit a marginalized group within the society? So that's how you come about designing projects and so on. So in principle, when you finish such a study, you either be working at the World Bank or UN and or EU Parliament or Commission. So that is the type of study that I did. But yeah, I came back to the island because I know that I can use that skill set also on the island.
Awesome.
I think when we grew up, I grew up in an environment that they were constantly telling you like, hey, you're going to be the change. You're going to do things. Mm. And that basically was ingrained in me.
But who was telling you that? So, was it your parents, the community?
It was, well, I grew up in a family where my grandmother is a school teacher. Mm-hmm. So, and a very strict school teacher.
Okay.
So education was always a strong component within my family.
A must.
And I think if you talk to my cousins these days, they would also tell you like it also felt like a competition. Like who is the ones that finish a master's study? My grandma is not going to see this podcast, I hope. But it's such...
She's still alive?
Yeah, she's still alive.
You got to send it to grandma, man.
No. But actually, because... She had in her living room pictures of all of us finishing high school with our diploma. Picture of all of us that finished bachelor with our diploma. So the next challenge was you want to be on the picture with a master diploma. So that was
psychologically
manipulation. But
grandma was gangster.
Yeah, I talked with I guess those techniques work. I talked to a cousin once and was like, yeah, we were always forced to compete on academics.
So how many of you guys did a master's then?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of the 13.
Oh, wow.
I think we are.
And then bachelor's?
More. So I think it would be 6 or 7.
Okay.
And now I wonder how many we are. But anyhow. But I have cousins that finished TU Delft and Utrecht University also. I have one that just finished also in TU Delft. So we were always forced in going the extra mile for education. And I'm very thankful also about that because perhaps she does not know or understand, but that is what makes you more resilient and sustainable as a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have that always to fall back on.
Yeah.
So I think that is really, really nice as a component.
Awesome, let's clap it up for grandma.
Yeah.
So actually, this is kind of perfect for my next question, because that's about mentors, which mentors that you've had along your journey. It seems that grandma, I'm not sure if it was a close or just from a distance, always knowing in the back of your mind, like, hey, you got to get that education. Can you describe any of the mentors that you've had?
So as growing up, I'm sure my family was a great influence on me. My grandma indeed was one of them, but not because of the education, but everything that she did around it. So they had a supermarket, they had a restaurant, they were into business and doing different activities.
But wait, grandma was a school teacher with a supermarket, with a restaurant.
But she's married also, so my grandpa is there. And these things happen, and my uncles had their own businesses. My dad also had his own business. So I grew up in that environment of perhaps that was also ingrained in us, that we do not want to be working at the government, for the government. You need to become someone more independent and entrepreneurial, because that comes with it also. A lot of stress, but also that. So it was ingrained in us also, that component. But along my trajectory, I had different mentors. I mentioned that as a teenager, I was a very party goer teenager. Mm-hmm. So there, I didn't do much other than party.
You enjoyed your teens.
I enjoyed my teens. Thank God I did back then. But a certain moment,
because you know what they say, right? If you didn't enjoy it in your teens and 20s, then you'll be the old man trying to go to all the parties right now.
So, with the youngsters, yeah.
The creepy person. You got it out of my
system.
And now you can focus on other things.
So now I'm older, I can say these things also. So I used to party before I turned 18.
Okay.
So I think it's the first time I entered back then, Senior's Frogs, was when I was 13.
Right, 13, damn.
And
I was gonna say I started partying early too. At 14, I was entering the club.
Side note, I went for the first time when I was 13 with a cousin of mine who's older, and she actually left me behind.
Oh my god!
But yeah, that's a side note. But so what I was going to say is that a certain moment, basically, I got partying out of my system, and I switched as a human being. I became like a nerd, I would say, a geek. I would dive into books and read more. So, for example, I would come out with mentors such as professors that are at Harvard coming up with new ideas.
Like the books and the research, like
I would follow up on everything that Steve Jobs used to be doing.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I have his book and I read it almost often when I need that inspiration. But I would follow big tech and corporate people on what they're doing.
Yeah.
So when I was in college or in doing my bachelor, I was reading Harvard Business Review. I was doing more of that that component. So so I think at every part of my life, I would have a different mentor.
Yeah.
And right up till today, I realize now that I have a mentor also, and it's on governance level. She's an older lady.
Yeah.
But
so did you come to that realization just as I asked the question?
No, I actually came about it yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. And because I like mentors that are strict on me. I do not like that you're just talking cute with me.
Yeah.
No, I want you to teach me for me to become better.
Mm.
And for example, there's like this whole thing going on corporate governance on the island, how to make institutions work better and be more integer. And this lady is a legal person, and she knows and understands this very well.
Yeah.
And I love talking to her. I love, because I have to do this for my job also, right? And I realized like the knowledge sharing that's happening and experience sharing that's happening right now, I'm really blessed to have this person.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I think for everything that you go through, mm-hmm. every moment in your life, someone will appear.
Yeah.
And if you recognize it, yes or no, that's up to you, I think.
True.
And if you want to grasp it, yes or no, it's also up to you. It's
also up to you.
So that's why for this person, I was like, yeah, I'm going to grasp you. And she actually told me that she's going to live in the Netherlands in a few years.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I need to get as much as possible from you. But yeah, I think...
But then what's also interesting, because it's something that I try to tell people often enough, like, your mentors don't always have to be there with you physically.
No.
There's always a extra dynamic that happens when they're there with you physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can also find those mentors from books or from online presence, et cetera. And having that mixture definitely helps to develop you as a human.
And especially because we are small islands.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of mentors.
Yeah.
Or the thinking is not that advanced. Mm-hmm. So, and I think my strength and how I position myself also is because I try to absorb as much as possible from the international world, what is happening out there. Because then you localize it here. But if you're not someone who's reading or not viewing these things,
You'll get stagnant.
Exactly. Your reality is different. And I think that is the edge.
It stays that or then it starts to shrink.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you constantly are out there searching for new ideas, information.
So, just to put it in perspective, imagine if your vocabulary was just 10 words.
Mm, yeah.
Compared to 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Your reality is much bigger.
Yep.
If you have 1,000 word vocabulary. So for me, that's it. Like constantly trying to read something, learn something, ask. I also try to ask a lot.
Yeah.
And I love doing that.
Awesome.
And also I like trying to get experiences out of older experienced people.
Mm-hmm.
I use it, but I channel it also immediately to younger peers.
So give me an example, if you can.
Yeah, of course. So for example, now I have a colleague who he asked me basically, can you mentor me? I was like,
okay.
I don't do mentoring. I'm sorry. I don't know how to start. But I use a lot of insights that I get from older on how to run business and so on, because he has a business and he wants to expand. So I channel that into, okay, now I'm providing you this advice. He doesn't know that basically I use other people's wisdom in order to do that. But I have this thing that as much as if you share it, someone will use it.
Yeah.
And it will be beneficial for someone. So yeah.
Awesome. So if we're going to jump back in time one more time. And we're going to tap into...
I hope not too much, because then I would not remember.
Well, we're going to tap back into possibly the party version of Tyson.
Ah, the party version.
Because the 18-year-old you. So if you look back now at the 18-year-old you, with all your experience, all of the knowledge, all of the mentors that you've had... And your current position and vision for the future, what type of advice would you give 18-year-old Tyson?
I would tell him, you partied enough. Thank God you got that out of your system. But
so you started at 13, 18, 5-year run. It's good enough.
It's good enough. But as an advice, I would say make sure you have your ambitions strong, because I think that is why I'm here today in my position, and also everything that I'm doing is because I have a drive. Know your purpose. We talked about purpose. I must say that that changed also with that transition of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was like, I'm going to become a consultant, I'm gonna win a lot of money, and I'm gonna drive this awesome Mercedes. And I was like, and then afterwards I'm like, do I really need that? But I think I would advise him just to stay put. life is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, like, your life is just like your heartbeat. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up, and it goes down. And for the down times, make sure you try to pull yourself back up. Do not dive into it.
Yeah.
And for those up times, celebrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Be thankful about them. But remember, there will be a downtime coming back up. So, with that also is, for me, it's more to keep myself also in check.
Mm-hmm.
Of not being too cocky about my results.
Yeah.
I'm very content and humble of what I do. But also, I want to do more.
Mm.
And I know I can't do a lot without others.
Yeah.
So I need others also to be able to do more. And I think having a humble position makes you more, it makes it more possible for you to continue going.
So let's circle back to 2025.
Yeah.
And let's look towards 2030. Is there any particular aspects of what you guys are working on right now that you can share?
Yes, of course. I mean, the strategic document is public.
Okay.
In that sense, I'm very transparent.
Yeah.
I have all financial statements, all annual reports public on our website. So the organization is going to expand in the upcoming years.
Because how big is it today?
So we have 57 employees.
57 employees. That's quite some employees. But then in which areas?
So we have different departments.
Yeah.
Most of them are rangers on a terrestrial level.
Okay.
But we were going to...
So what's the number like of rangers?
I think we have about 22.
Okay.
22. Oh, if I add the Marine Ranger, also 23.
Okay. So 57, 23.
Yeah.
So 24 now left.
Yeah. So in between that, we have, I think, 10... sales ladies.
Okay. And what are they selling?
So the entrance tickets, but in the future we will be doing a gift shop. So a concept store where I want to blend the concept, the gifts of sort of merchandising with educational component.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that is going to happen in the upcoming 10 years. A lot is also dependent on funding. So I have to make sure that financially we are strong enough mm-hmm. to be able to carry out all our ideas.
Yeah.
So for example, right now we only have Arikok National Park as the park mm-hmm. Component, but we want to develop at least two different parks.
Okay.
So we want to develop one at Bubali Plus, where we will have like a boardwalk that you can walk around for birders to see migratory birds and also native birds. We have an area.
Because that's close by here, right?
That's close by to the high-rise hotels.
With the high-rise hotels, yeah.
So the idea is also to have a proper visitor center there. Mm-hmm. And that the theme would be then wetlands, because that's what it originally is.
Yeah.
And then there's another area also we want to create our marine conservation center. And hopefully next year we're going to do a groundbreaking on that.
Okay.
And the Marine Conservation Center is basically a place where we will cultivate corals, cultivate conch, cultivate different species, seagrass restoration also, different species to be put back in nature in order to restore biodiversity within the marine protected area.
Because so, how what is the current situation like on the marine biodiversity of Aruba?
Yes, actually, Aruba is very new in conservation of nature. So if you compare Aruba to, for example, Bonaire started 50, 70 years ago.
Wow.
They were the pioneers.
Yeah.
Aruba, since 2000, we have the national park.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 2019 that we created the marine protected areas, the marine park.
Oh, wow.
So it's very new. So
a lot was damaged then.
A lot was damaged. So we have different research. I talked also about it, that in the past 30 years, like, we lost maybe 80% of our coral coverage. Wow. And so we need to restore that ecosystem in order for it to thrive. And that work, we need to do it on land in a conservation center. So it would be like a lab where we do these, we grow them. But the intention is also blended with education. So people can go into the lab and actually learn what is being done and also contribute to restoring nature. And the thing is about restoring, about nature conservation, is that you're doing it for dual purposes.
Yeah.
You're doing it for nature itself, but you're also doing it for mankind. Yeah. So for example, if
for future generations.
And also for resources. For example, if I restore corals,
mm-hmm,
and the coral reef, you will get more fishes.
Mm. Yeah.
You will get that. And then fishermen can also be happy. The community can have healthier food intake. And for example, on terrestrial level, it is known, it is researched that going on a walk in nature reduces stress, reduces anxiety. And I think those are components that we challenge. Yeah. It's a challenge these days as a small community. So conserving nature has its dual. And even, for example, for tourism, like there's a lot of research out there also that is conducted on our island, and that tourists come here for nature.
Mm.
I mean, they come here for beach, right? So beach is nature.
Yeah.
A beach creation is a natural process. And that is also to make sure that your economic viability of the tourism industry will continue for decades. That is also a strong component of the job.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Mr. Tyson,
yeah,
I would like to thank you very, very much being on this, for being on our podcast. Are there any closing words, advice that you would want to give youngsters coming up now, also thinking about perhaps entering a career within the nature conservation space? Or maybe young Arubians or those from the other islands that might be looking to expand their career. What advice would you
I mean, one thing I can say, and that was also applicable for me, is not to lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I did my studies, it's hard.
Yeah,
if you go to study, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, but you will get through it. Like, there's always another day.
Yeah,
it can be easy today, mm-hmm, or it can be difficult today, but you will be able to surpass it. So my advice would be, think about it. You might encounter difficult moments, but there is, it's just a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not your life.
Yeah. So coming back to what we were saying about the journey, you have your wins, and then those difficult moments might feel like a loss, but in the bigger picture, it's just a moment.
A moment, indeed. And when you're studying or whatever you're doing, if you're starting a business, you might feel like, this didn't go well. It's the end of whatever I'm trying to do. No, just continue.
Yeah.
You need to have your determination and your passion in place. Why are you doing this? It has to make sure that you wake up every day and be able to do it again and again and again and again and again until you succeed.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but I think you should try your best at it. And always be hopeful that you will be able to do it.
Awesome. Thanks for this great advice. And so before we close off, we need to touch on the social media handles. So where can they find you and the organization that you represent so beautifully?
Yeah. So my Facebook is Tyson Lopez. Instagram also is Lopez Tyson, actually. On LinkedIn also, you can contact me on Tyson Lopez. The handles of our organization is ACF, so Aruba Conservation Foundation, on Facebook, on Instagram, and also on LinkedIn. Like, share. I mean, we have a lot of content that can be educational on our socials.
Mm-hmm.
So dive into it. If you have any question personally, you can just send me a message through my inbox. But I'm sure that the team at Aruba Conservation Foundation also is very happy to assist you with whatever it is.
Awesome. Well, with that being said, thank you very much for being here.
No problem.
And we are signing out. Please like, comment, and subscribe. But definitely leave some comments. Let us know any questions that we might have missed out. What were your thoughts on what was discussed today? And we'll see you in the next one. Thank you for being here. Bless.